out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 164. This is the next episode. Nothing too impressive on the name on this one. This is being recorded live on Sunday, September 16th, 2007. Sorry, it's taking me just a little bit longer than normal to get up in the flow of things. There's a couple things that we're trying to get going for you here. Hopefully everything will work correctly, and we have a great episode lined up for you today. We are slowly but surely coming back up to speed after PodCamp and everything else that happened. I mean, we have a great lineup of topics that we're going to talk to you about, a good little bit of PodSafe music coming up shortly, and we actually have a very well-balanced show today. We have a decent amount of tech tidbits. Some of the stuff's just simple one-off stuff. On today's show, you're going to hear a little bit about cleanliness, the Office 2007 suite, Master Chief, and a bunch about geeks, which is, you know, good since this is a show kind of for geeks, by geek, a geek, and for everybody else. It doesn't matter what kind of geek you are, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. Like I said, it's been kind of a, I don't think I've ever started off a show and said, you know what, this has been a really boring week. I don't tend to have boring weeks, but this one's just been a little bit spicier, I guess. The boy was actually sick, started last Wednesday night, didn't realize it. He just seemed a little cranky after I got home, and just, I had to end up staying home Thursday and Friday to take care of him. My wife could only stay home Thursday. She had a lot of stuff to do on Friday, but we've been kind of pulling our hair out just a little bit, trying to make sure everything was all right on that front. You know, dosing him with Tylenol and whatnot to make, you know, baby infant / Tylenol drop like things. Pretty much because we determined that's all pediatricians are good for. They're supposed to tell you how much Tylenol you're supposed to give your kid, because every time we call him, like the first couple times, you know, if he got sick or something, we would take him in and you know, we'd waste the day and work or something like that, and we get there and say, oh wow, so take him home and give him Tylenol. Well, thank you. Couldn't you just dispense that advice over the phone? Well, yeah, you should have just called us. Okay, all right. So we learned after two or three trips in there, and now we just call. He says, okay, does he have this random symptom? No. Okay, fine. Well, guess what? We thought we were a little bit on the edge because, I mean, I at least was scared because he had a relatively high fever on Thursday, I think, and the fever finally broke by midday on Friday. So everything was all good by that point in time. It's just a little frightening there for new parents there right at the beginning. We would like to actually welcome all of our new and returning listeners here. Just if this is the first time turning into the Caffeination Podcast, I am Paul, host of the Caffeination Podcast, which you are currently listening to, and it's thrown up over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. You are hopefully going to enjoy today's show. I know all of our returning listeners are expecting the same wonderful level of quality and minimal screw-ups that we usually try and put up here. But, the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. All the other member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and hopefully educational content. Hopefully you'll learn a little bit of something about something on my show today. We strive for more of the entertaining and relatively G-rated. The song today is probably more along the PG vein, but I just had to give it because there were so many. We spent a long time looking for PodSafe music tonight. I think it was like 45 minutes of listening to random songs, and I wanted something in the comedy vein today. I don't even know why. I was just feeling like I needed a good chuckle, good laugh, and man, I mean, I'm one for, like, I enjoy blue comedy. I enjoy, like, a good dirty joke now and then. But people just throw language around in some of these things. And I really wish there was, like, a tag you could put on the songs that were on the PodSafe Music Network. Say, oh, yeah, you know, this one has language, this one doesn't. Because I got caught a couple times early on in the show's history. A couple rather raunchy terms thrown out there. But no longer is that the case. I spend the time and listen to the whole song, unless I'm pretty sure. For some reason, country songs don't seem to curse very much. I guess it kind of grates on the nerves and the sensibilities a little bit. But, so that's about the only one I've seen. That and the acoustic ones have a hard time doing that. Although, if you just a strange bit of off-the-cuff trivia for you, a Frank Zappa album, right after he testified in front of Congress about the the censorship, to the whole Tipper Gore kind of thing. He actually put out an instrumental album that was automatically labeled with the Parental Advisory Explicit Lyrics tag when it first came out there. So that's a little bit of trivia. It's the only instrumental album to actually ever have that, and I can't remember for the life of me what the name of the said album was right off the top of my head. But hey, alright, we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the sponsor for here at the Caffeination. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple: web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com, and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged one of the per-minute fees like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime without ever having to leave your office. You'll not only end up saving time, but a serious amount of money as well. You can check it out for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. All right, try GoToMeeting free today. Well, we'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. It's much easier to work with a sponsor that's established in the realm of new media buys, if you know what I mean. So hopefully you're going to enjoy today's selection for pod-safe music. We might actually have to interrupt the little lineup that I have going on in Jazzler's show. One of these days, I'm actually going to do a video podcast on how I podcast. I was really tempted to actually do a segment for the last podcamp, but at the same point in time, I was incredibly petrified that it would come off sounding like I have no clue what I'm doing. So we're going to hopefully build up the confidence throughout this year and be able to present my own segment next year on podcasting with passion, podcasting about the things that you love and how you keep yourself motivated. So if that's something that you think that you would enjoy hearing, just let me know. Maybe I'll try it out here, do a little video I'll throw up there online. If you'd like to contact me, you can send an email over to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can let's see what else I have. A couple ways. Yeah, all right, you can dial into our listener line at 215-240-1319. Or you can, you can contact me via Skype at The Caffeination, all one word. So hopefully that will work out for you. All right, now we have a nice selection from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. This is Paul and Storm with their song Opening Band. So hopefully you'll enjoy this one. Like I said, it took me a while to actually find a... And it's starting in the background here, just a little bit of a lead time. It took me a while to find one that I thought was humorous and at the same point in time, good. So here we go.
We are the opening band. We are here to do 5 or 6 or 7 songs. Don't go too long and get the hell off the stage. We are the opening band. Probably not the band you came to see tonight, but it's alright, cause soon we'll go away. And we're wondering just where the hell's the sound guy. He disappeared just after we got up here. He's probably behind the building, rolling up a fatty, and he'll be gone until our last song. We got a BW band. Sell every Star Wars figure that I had and ask my dad to co-sign for the loan. We don't got a whole lot of fans. Nobody asked for our autograph, and sad to say, as of today, no panties have been thrown. And we're wondering if this was worth the drive here. We spent 6 hours in traffic on the highway for $50 and half price on the cheese fries and free Miller Lite on tap. Who can drink that crap? My cousin lives in town and we'll be crashing at his place unless his girlfriend's home from college and she's staying for the weekend. And if she is, then we will have to go and park the van behind the IHOP by the turnpike, and we'll sleep in the back seat. And we're wondering just where the headline act is. They're probably getting wasted in the green room. to play up here. We're gonna drink all their beer. We are the opening band. We hope that all of you sign up on our mailing list and buy our disc and t-shirts in black and gray. We are the opening band, and we only got about 25 more minutes left. That's all we get to blow your ass away. We are the opening band. We are the opening band. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Again, that's Paul and Storm with We Are the Opening Band, or Opening Band, rather. Hopefully you enjoyed that. I loved it. It was a very addictive little tune there, and just it just had a good bit of humor to it and didn't have, like, nasty, dirty lyrics or anything like that hidden somewhere in some kind of monologue in the middle. I have to be very careful about that every once in a while. They slip in there, you know? So if you actually head on over to their website, paulandstorm.com, no little and symbol or anything, it's seriously P-A-U-L, a name very familiar to myself, and Storm, S-T-O-R-M.com, you can check out. They have a bunch of geek cred pictures, as you would call them, basically pictures of them and doing cool things, meeting neat people. So it's just like, they actually have a picture with Will Wheaton, which is awesome, and they have a picture, they toured Pixar our studios, so really cool stuff. It's kind of fun there to see the life of the opening band, you know what I mean? So just neat stuff all around. Well, that's not what you came to hear about today. You came to hear about a bunch of tech tidbits, a little bit of caffeinated bits, so we might as well dive right on into that. Hopefully you'll enjoy where we're going to be going with this. So all right, first up here, I'm a huge webcomic geek. I have a reading list of somewhere around 25 of them that I read on any given day. And I have it in my head which ones are Wednesday or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which ones are once a week, which ones are just kind of randomly thrown up there. So I have a, like, it's almost addictive. You end up reading them, and every time I find a really good one, I always end up going all the way back to the beginning of it and reading up. I mean, the last one I did that on was actually called, it's called Striptease the Comic. It's all about a comic artist, but it was... Just awesome. So I actually ended up reading 3 years of comics up until the current storyline started. So it's not very often that I get to do that. But putting that aside, there's a comic called My Extra Life, and it's written and drawn by a guy named Scott Johnson. Now, he was linked up by I think PvP, Player versus Player, who. That's like one of the most well-known webcomics. So if you're not in the realm of things, if that's not something you think you're interested in, if you're easily offended, don't go to Penny Arcade. I love Penny Arcade. Not very easily offended. PvP is very safe, work safe, everything safe, but it's a funny comic nonetheless. It's hilarious. I love the current storyline that they have going. But Scott Johnson does kind of like a one-off strip. Basically, you know, there's usually one unique idea. There's no continuity from one strip to the next, and it's a very unique art style at the same point in time. But he's currently working on a project called the 56 Geeks poster, and he's drawn every single different kind of geek that you can imagine. He has the Star Trek geek, he has the super geek, he has the furry geek, indie geek, Linux geek, coder geek, LARPer geek, and it just goes through the whole thing, and you have to check some of them out. And the reason that I saw it is because when I was reading his most recent blog posting, he actually had the Tron Geek up there, and the person who was the inspiration for the Tron Geek, if you're well versed in internet memes, you understand that that there was a very well-known picture of a guy who dressed up in a homemade Tron suit, and his name was, let me just make sure I got this right, Jay Maynard, and he was slightly overweight, packed into a very skin-tight suit, and things glowed. I mean, I think we might have even covered it here at the Caffeination. But at the same point in time, Scott used this as the as the inspiration for his Tron Geek portrait. And when he put the original art up on eBay, a guy named Jay Maynard bought it. But it never occurred to him that it was the actual guy. And apparently, The guy wrote in and said, let him know, and he posted the picture side by side so he could actually see it. But, I mean, I kind of agree with Scott on this one. I'm really actually, I'm kind of enthused that that guy ended up with the art, the same thing. And, I mean, and the fact that it went to support the guy who drew it, I mean, it's just one very beautiful synergy at work there. I found a couple fun links over there, but first of all, if you'd like to, you can check out the current status of the 56 Geeks poster at the first link we have posted there. And then, of course, the one that I'm currently identifying with, which is the Podcast Geek. So it's a guy with cans on, speaking in front of a microphone. The only problem is I don't actually stand to do my podcast, so I don't have the same resonance as someone who would. You know, a lot of people use deep chest resonance to make their voice just slightly deeper. Yeah, not really into that. I'm a comfort geek at the same point in time. I want to be able to sit. I want to be able to be in a very comfortable surrounding. The only thing I do is I usually don't sit up straight when I'm in the computer chair, so you usually have to do that to podcast because you don't have a very deep breath. You don't have a nice, you need to be able to breathe to talk. So something I didn't realize right off the bat. So it helps. Just a little pointer out there for you. And then another thing that Scott actually had linked up there was an Extra Life reader made a Master Chief suit out of paper. Yes, cardboard used to create the title character, or not the title character, wrong word usage there, used to create the character that is the starring character, the Spartan from Halo and Halo 2 and soon to be Halo 3, which actually debuts on my son's first birthday, so you can guess where I will be. That's right, I'll be at the zoo, taking the boy to the zoo. I will not be playing Halo 3 that day. I have to save up to get Halo 3, so click on some ads. No, just, all right, putting that aside. If you feel like it, go ahead, but no. All right, so I just wanted to pass that along, and if you'd actually like to take it to the next level, if you'd like to actually try and create this, there's a link from the post that Scott put up where it's over to a forum where the guy posted all of the patterns he used to create it. Now, a lot of people have just been making the helmet, which I'm actually thinking about doing. That's really sad. Although I don't have that amount of cardboard laying around, I'm pretty sure I could find it. You know, since I work in a plot room, there's a significant amount of cardboard used to contain all the paper at any one point in time, so I'm pretty sure I could actually make my own little Mjolnir helmet, but, so, kind of fun. Thought I'd pass it along, you know what I mean? All right, now, we're getting deeper into the news here. We have a fun little link called I called it the Robo Bank, but I'm not really sure what it is called. The vendor website calls it the Face Bank, Feed It Coins. But a lot of people are just freaked out by this. Now, imagine something that looks like the old Nick Jr. thing from Cable. It's just a face, an animatronic face in a flat, different colored piece of plastic. Now, it's rubberized, so as you insert the coin into the rubberized mouth, it chews the coin and deposits it, quote-unquote. So it eats your coin, but at the same point of time, it's just weird. It actually makes a really nasty servo noise while it eats your coin, and I don't know how to put it. It hasn't yet reached the uncanny valley or anything like that. There's a bunch of other robots that have been recently put out that hit that mark very dead on, but we're not linking to those. We're linking to strange offbeat fun things right now. But the robotic piggy bank, the title from over at Gizmodo is a robotic piggy bank eats money, gives me nightmares. Actually, this thing is really freaky. It has like these deadpan black eyes in this animatronic face as it eats quarter after quarter. Now, I don't know what the capacity is on this thing, and I also don't know how you get the money out, and I'm actually kind of afraid to find out. I don't want to flip the thing around and have a rear end on it where that's how you remove the money, but I think it'd be fun if it made change that way. I mean, you feed it like a 50-cent piece and have it drop out two quarters. I mean, that'd be kind of cool, actually, but you'd have to preload it with some money somewhere. So just kind of freaky. Thought I'd pass it along to you. Hopefully you'll find it interesting. Now, I don't know how many people out there are of the correct age. I mean, I guess if you're over like 32 or 33, you might not have necessarily been into Nintendo at its height, but like the original Nintendo. I'm talking like Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. But if you're younger than, let's just say, 23 or 24, you more likely remember Super Nintendo. So, I mean, there's a definite fine line here for the people that this is actually going to relate to. But you understand that there's... Or not that you understand, but most people remember the Zapper, the gun that came with Duck Hunt, basically. You'd point the gun, and it was very gun-like at the screen, and you would shoot the birds, or the clay pigeons, or whatever, as they flew across the screen. And then, of course, that little dog would come up and laugh whenever you missed anything, and then, of course, being the good, well-adjusted kid you were, you would attempt to shoot the dog. Now, there should be a mod where you can shoot that little bastard, but there isn't, so we're just going to move right along. The Nintendo Wii has apparently put out a new Zapper. They're trying to create something, I guess, along the lines of the original Nintendo Zapper. So this thing looks more like a crossbow or a machine gun style. I mean, like, just the overall form factor, if you extrapolate it beyond its current shape. It looks nothing like a real gun, first of all, because it's like this the standard Nintendo Wii / Apple computers white. All right, you put the nunchuck for the Wii at the very back, so it's like a thumb trigger on it. And then in the front of it, it has the Wiimote slides in. So, I mean, the whole thing, it has a very weird kind of space-age, almost Master Chief-like state to it. But apparently a bunch of New Jersey parents are irritated over the gun-like Zapper. They're saying that it's the wand in the shape of a weapon certainly doesn't help matters. They said people are trying to be wary of their children becoming vicious gun-toting mini-gangsters, according to the website, joystick.com. It's just... I don't understand it. I mean, kids have played with guns for years. I mean, school shootings are something relatively new, horrid all the same, but are parents really going to sit there and equate the fact that a gun-shaped toy, they're saying, you know, this is going to be, like, I guess, you know, they're trumping out the whole murder simulators thing. Look, if you can find a gun that looks like this, that has no recoil, has no, has no relation to any other real-world gun out there, other than a light gun, this is, like... There's nothing that this is in resembles to a gun, like an actual rifle / gun that it could even be in the general shape of. You really need to check this article out just to see what it is. But apparently, they say, what kind of message are we sending to our kids when we're saying, you know what, you can use something, you can watch all the violent TV you want, but we don't want you actually using something that might look like a gun if you were drunk. But then again, you're not allowed to drink you're not allowed to drink because you're not yet 21, but still. I mean, I know I'm going off here, and I'm trying as hard as I can to not just lambaste people, but at the same point in time, it's ridiculous. It's utterly and patently ridiculous to think that, you know, a gun that looks like this, the gun-like Zapper, as they call it, is going to have any kind of effect on a child's developmental state. You know, sociopath is a sociopath. It doesn't matter what, you know, you do. It doesn't matter what kind of tools you give them in the beginning. It doesn't matter. You know, they've already proved there is no link between, depending on what studies you believe, I guess, but there is no link between violent media and a violent action. I've played more shoot 'em ups. I've played more first-person shooters. I've actually shot real honest-to-God firearms, and never have I attempted to violently interact with others in that kind of manner. Yeah, I got into a couple fights in grade school, but still, I mean, this is nothing along the lines of what these people are saying this would do to me. So if somebody seriously totaled up the amount of hours that I have in any of these quote-unquote murder simulators, then I should be a literal powder keg of rage and frustration even when I'm not driving on I-95, which is, you know, I just don't understand. I mean, I guess these parents, these are the same parents that, you know, did every drug under the sun when they were younger, but they hesitate to give their kid NyQuil. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess people are being overprotective on the one end, but at the same point in time, you know, you need to let your kids experience real life just to a small degree, and it's just a game. As long as you can instill the fact that it's just a game into your kid's head, you really don't have anything to worry about. See, I actually built a little bit of extra time into the podcast just to talk about that, because I knew I was going to go off, but I mean... All right, something completely on the other end here, but Microsoft has apparently decided to have a new promotion come out, and it's called The Ultimate Steal. And I know it seems like a fun name from Microsoft, but they're trying to make Office 2007 an actual affordable product. If you really look at it, the retail price of Office 2007 Ultimate is $619.99. Just for the Office product. Now, Microsoft is ubiquitous. They are the standard for Office. I mean, despite what everybody says, you know, about OpenOffice, StarOffice, and anything else out there, you need to be able to produce a Microsoft Office file to have your information read by potential jobs. I mean, anybody. They don't say, send me an OpenOffice file. They don't say, send me an ODP. They say, send me a Word document. So, I mean, even the OpenOffice stuff has to be able to save into that format. So, it's kind of off the charts with how crazy it is that it's that ingrained. But at the same point in time, Microsoft has taken a completely different stance on this. Apparently, there's a new promotion that they're coming out. Here's an excerpt. It says, "We're listening to students who have told us that they need Microsoft Office for their studies, but they want more flexible ways to get the latest version. We are committed to providing accessible and affordable technology to students so they can meet their academic goals. The Ultimate Steal is the latest in a long history of quote-unquote providing compelling academic offers for students. The offers are available in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. They plan to roll it out in France, Italy, and Spain next week. The offer runs until April of 2008. The offer boils down to this. If you can prove that you are in some way associated with student activities, basically if you are enrolled and active at an educational institute, and I believe even if you're a faculty or staff member, but like I can't speak specifically on them, you can buy Microsoft Office Ultimate for $60. Now, with that kind of with that kind of backing, why? Why would you not get it? So, I mean, they're making it a very, very nasty alternative to Open Office. Well, you can have it for free and you can have issues, or you can spend $60 and get a $600. And they cut the price down to 1%, basically. Or is it 1%? No, I think that's 10%. I don't even know what the heck I'm talking about half the time. But they cut it down to a significant fraction. There we go. Of the price of the actual software. But still, I mean, it's so if you don't have it yet, if you have a student in your household, if you'd like to rent a student, yeah, go somewhere, get the product. I mean, I think that would actually void the whole license agreement. But still, it's just awesome idea from them. Now, why haven't they done this to Vista? You have no excuses for not getting Office 2007 at this point, but why haven't they done this kind of thing for Vista? Why haven't they made the operating system gratis, or why haven't they made it so inexpensive and so affordable that they can, you know, people can pick it up on a whim just to try it? I guess at this point in time with Vista, they're focusing on usability and helpful things on it, as opposed to, you know, price point, because people are actually buying it. My sister actually just got a computer with Vista on it. I have never used Vista except like passingly on a demo station. I there's no reason for me at this point, because I'm on the department I work in, none of the design applications are certified to work in Vista, so I have to hold off. So I'm probably going to end up moving to Vista relatively shortly, but I mean, I felt unable to help her, because I can't, like, even going back to Windows 98, I can sit here, close my eyes, and over the phone go back and tell people how to navigate through different menus. The menus have all changed, all the options are slightly different, so I can't even do that for her. I can't even walk her through those at this point, so I really need to bone up on that a little bit. All right, how much energy do we... Sorry. The segues really need a little bit of work here today. On to the next topic, the whole house electricity meter. There's a story from over at ecogeek.com, basically how much energy, how much electricity do you actually use. Now, they have the port ones where you can just, you know, basically plug this thing into the wall and then plug whatever item you want to into this, so it's kind of like a pass-through, and it meters how much electricity is going through there. But apparently this is a way of finding out how much electricity is being used inside of your house at any given point in time, which is really cool. I mean, I'd like to actually establish a baseline for how much electricity is used by, like, nothing on. Like, let's just say the TV, the surround sound, everything upstairs is off. If we're not home, how much electricity is being used? All right. And then you go further than that. All right, if I were to leave my computer on, what would that do to the amount of electricity used? If I accidentally leave the surround sound system on overnight, what does that do? I mean, you go on and on from there. And it really, I guess having that display in front of you would really make you a smarter consumer. And like, for instance, when we went on vacation, this is the first year where I said, you know what, I'm going to unplug all of the appliances and all of the stuff that we have laying around. I mean, the cable boxes, the TVs, the surround sound, the computers, everything was getting unplugged before we left. The only thing that pretty much didn't get unplugged was the fridge. So I was like, you know what, we are going to be a zero, you know, we're going to try and get as close to zero electricity usage as possible. So we left one the new kind of light bulbs that are out there, the curly cued fluorescent ones, we left one of them on, which uses, I think, 4 watts of electricity or something like that, and the fridge. And, yeah, that was just sitting there just in case somebody happened by. Oh, look, people are home. There's a light on. I guess, you know. But, so just kind of an interesting idea. And I guess if you want to, you can head on over there and read the article. I wonder how inexpensive some of these things are. Like, there's do-it-yourself projects that are out there. And basically you can build yourself like a baseline. There's databases saying, okay, you put your product name in here, you put the model and everything else like that there. And we tell you how much electricity this uses on a given day. But, let's see. All right. Moving right along, because there was nothing else with that one, and I accidentally clicked off of the article. All right, apparently iRobot, the people who make the Roomba, actually had a product leak. There are 2 new products coming out, so if anybody else knows anything about these, please let me know. The first one's called the Luge. It's a gutter cleaning robot. But the only thing is that it's supervised. You actually need to be there when it does it. And the other one is a much more mysterious Kinect R. Apparently, it's a visiting. It's a virtual visiting robot. So I guess that might be something along the lines of you give this robot to your grandparents and allows you to visit them without actually being there. I guess maybe it's some kind of like VoIP client with a webcam attached to it. I mean, it's kind of cool, kind of interesting to think about what it could be. So if anybody finds out what these things are, you know, more information, like they had a screw up with their website basically, and they had the information up there just a short amount of time before it got pulled down. So kind of cool to see that kind of thing. But then again, at the same point in time, it could also be a rather strategic product leak to gauge how much people would think. Like, for instance, if they were going to put the iLuge, the gutter cleaning robot, out there. I love the name, Luge. It's just awesome. But if you're going to put the gutter cleaning robot out there and nobody likes it, then you might think about, you know, pulling it back and saying, oh, yeah, you know what, we put up one of our R&D pages instead. But, you know, so it's like free audience response there. But, all right, that pretty much wraps up the tech tidbit section. We do have a fantastic little bit of caffeinated news for you today, or caffeinated news and food bites and stuff like that. The first little thing, actually, the music has stopped in the background. What are you doing? There we go. All right, I don't know what's happening over there. Somebody really needs to work on that. All right. Apparently, I don't know how many of you out there like sushi. I, for the longest point in time, was not a fan of sushi. I did not even like fish for the longest point in time. And it's mainly because I don't like the smell of fish. And I'm a fisherman. I'm an avid outdoorsman. I catch and release 95% of the time. But, The idea of eating sushi always kind of turned my stomach. Up until I was speaking with one of the foreign students who was at the university where I work, and he said, you know what, just try it, please. It had no fishy taste to it, just had this delectable palate. So since then, I've been on the search for good sushi, and believe it or not, there was actually a truck, a mobile dining car outside of our building, and yes, I had sushi from the truck because all of the students from Japan who were in the program at that point in time loved it. So I figured if these are the people who know what sushi should taste like. If they're eating there with no apparent ill effects, then I would be perfectly fine eating there. It has since stopped making sushi, so I guess there was complaints or something. I never had any issues. It was always made fresh in front of you. Now, there's a certain amount of technique to actually creating sushi. I mean, there's a significant amount of technique, and most people don't necessarily have that technique. So there's now a new product out from Bandai Namco that will allow you to create sushi. Sushi rolls. Perfect sushi rolls every time. So it's kind of like a cigarette rolling machine, if you've ever seen one of them. First time I saw one of these, I was in college. This guy from Ireland, an older student, was sitting there, and he had the tobacco in this strange-looking tin. I was like, okay, so what are you going to do? He's like, oh, this is a cigarette rolling machine. I was a little confused. He pulled the rolling paper out over one small opening, put a little bit of tobacco there, and closed the machine. As he closed the machine, the perfectly rolled cigarette popped out of another slightly different compartment. And I was fascinated by it. Not even the fact that I was smoking at that point in time or anything, but just how ingenious it was, how completely mechanical it was, and how flawless it did it every single time. So, I mean, he said you could put a filter in here if you want. I mean, there was different options, but nobody has ever taken that level of ease of use and translated it to anything else. Now, not saying that this is that easy to use, but it looks much easier than trying to hand roll sushi all your own. There's little recipe cards and everything, so apparently you put the seaweed wrap down, or you put the layer of sesame seeds, then you put the layer of rice, then you put the layer of whatever else you want to do, tiny little rows of whatever else you want to put into your sushi roll, and you just do whatever it is. All the instructions are unfortunately in, I believe, Japanese, so I can't tell what it is. There's two links to the story, so they actually have it. So you put all the ingredients in specific holes, you migrate the two different things, and it just looks awesome, and it's a great idea. So I don't know how much it is, and whether or not my wife would actually go for buying one of them, but that might be a damn good Christmas present for me. So I might have to throw that over to her and say, you know what, you might want to take a look at this. So, all right, moving right along, since I've spent enough time stuttering over that one. We actually have a kind of fascination with teapots. I do drink tea from time to time. This is not just the coffee nation. This is caffeination. Any caffeinated product, or decaffeinated, whatever you want. I think decaf is a tool of the devil in response to coffee, unless, of course, you're not able to have caffeine, then you still want to enjoy coffee. Yeah, neither here nor there. So, we're also a big fan of toasters. Now, somebody has managed to put the two in the same vessel. Yes, there is a toaster which shares the same vessel as a teapot. Now, you don't put this on the stove or anything like that. It's strange, to say the least. It's take the form factor of a toaster and the form factor of a teapot, and you put them into one. So you end up with a teapot that is electric and is very, very linear, very squared off. So you put the two slices of toast in the top, and apparently I guess you put the water in through the spout, because there doesn't seem to be any other place to put it. But you know that this is just begging for class action, because some idiot is going to pour the water into the top of this thing, and they're going to fry themselves. So they're only $40, and apparently you can get them from the tea pottery. They're called the Toaster Teapot, relatively simple name, but I think this is awesome. This is definitely a dorm idea. This is definitely an office treat that I could see. Now, if there was just some kind of cover for the toaster slots, so when they weren't in use, you wouldn't have any danger of actually putting water in there, I think that'd probably be a little bit better. But it just seems like a perfect marriage of the two. So it's from the Tea Pottery. Apparently the Tea Pottery is the home of the eccentric teapot, so you can get a it's £29.95 or I don't even know the correct way of saying that, but so roughly $40 US. Nothing on par with the next toaster that we have here. This one's from Bugatti. Yes, it's $300. You can't afford it. I can't afford it. If anybody you know can afford it, please have them buy it just to tell me if it actually makes the toast taste any better, or if you just feel better about yourself when you eat toast from a Bugatti. I'm probably even pronouncing it wrong, but I don't even know. It doesn't look like it makes toast any quicker. It doesn't. It even looks like an ugly toaster to put it off the top. But I mean, it has a very strange kind of Jetsons look to it. It's a actually, it looks like a cross between a ship and a Jetsons car. So there's a dial on the front of it. It's red and black and gray, and it has Bugatti Italy across the bottom, and in kind of a ship shape. Where the toast goes in, there's tiny little fins that go across the top. I don't know what they're for. There's no other links to it, but yeah, there's a Ferrari toaster out there as well, but this one definitely looks a little bit more expensive. The Ferrari design standard is always a little bit more interesting to take a look at. Like, they have Ferrari laptops, they have Ferrari toasters, they have Ferrari everything. They even have a Ferrari and a Porsche mouse pad, which are both, like, I think, like $100 for, like, a piece of carbon steel or something like that. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Yesterday, I actually went to a great party held by one of my friends, and we started playing beer pong. And I'm a big fan of beer pong, but the problem was we didn't have the tennis balls there right away. And then we always get into the discussions like, okay, well, how do you set the cups up? How do you stop them from knocking over? And you know, you always wonder. You know, my one friend Dave actually created his own portable beer pong table, and I have never seen anything as well done as this. Apparently, there's a company called Portopong, and you take a inflatable raft like you would use to lay in a pool, and there's actually cup holders in the shape of the beer pong triangle. So they're using the 4-3-2-1 as opposed to the smaller tables 3-2-1. So it's definitely a really cool idea. First of all, the cups will never fall over, which is a big advantage. You don't need water because it's just inflatable, so you can put it on top of a table. The only thing is, I guess you can't play the version of beer pong where you actually bounce the balls, because the ridges would add a whole new level to it. But one of the things that the only problem is it actually costs $50, which is a little steep for what it is, unless it has like a place for you to actually put the beer pong balls within it. So the only thing that they actually do make a mention of in the article from over at the Sci-Fi Tech blog is we predict that this simple invention will become very popular, because nothing is more fun or less dangerous than swimming drunk. So if that's the way you like to roll, then you might want to check that out. Other than that, I think that's... We have one more little tried-and-true tip that I have to put out there for you, and then we'll be on our way for the day. We're trying to limit the show to 45 minutes or and under from here on out, just because the show started having this general creeping up in time. And I started realizing, not that it was eating more and more of my time up, but rather that I was starting to ramble with no apparent direction quite often. So we're trying to eliminate that, at least on a small scale. But whether you think you need to or not, what I'd like to suggest for you to do is to actually clean your coffee pot. Now, I'm not talking about going to the store and buying one of those crazy coffee pot cleaner chemicals and stuff like that. You probably have the stuff at home. Actually, sorry about that. You probably already have everything at home that you need to do it. The first thing you need is a bottle of vinegar. The second thing you need is your coffee machine. You take the bottle of vinegar and you pour one entire pot of vinegar full. So you pour it directly into the coffee carafe. Then you make it, and you put one filter into your into the basket area. Now, this is to catch like the hard water stains and everything that the vinegar's going to help flush out. You pour the pot of vinegar into the top where you would normally put the water. You let it sit for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then you actually brew it as if it was a cup of coffee. You dispose of the vinegar down the drain, and then you rinse the machine by filling the carafe twice and running a cycle. So basically, you fill it up with water once, you pour it into the system, and you take the you don't take the filter out until the very end here. So, like, you pour it through the system once, you take the filter out then, and then for the second time you're putting water through the system, you take the filter is already out, so you're rinsing everything completely out, and you have this nice, clean coffee machine. Now, if you've never done this before, you're going to realize a completely different taste for your coffee right off the bat. That's the reason that you actually have to rinse it twice, because you want to remove any and all residue of former brewings. And one of the things that I actually saw online is that vinegar is a natural deodorizer. So whether you understand that or not, there's some of the piping that's on your system might have had a little bit of mildew, might even had a little bit of mold growing. I mean, it's nasty to think about it, but if you treat it a certain way, you won't ever have that problem. So I strongly endorse the vinegar method. Hopefully you will find it useful in your coffee routine. So that's our little tip for the day. You can use it for your teapots as well, something that most people don't know. You can rinse the teapot out with vinegar and then rinse it out twice. And I actually suggest heating it up, because it does tend to clean out the areas that you might not be able to reach. Or you could just throw the teapot in the dishwasher. I mean, that's a little bit more simple, but still. All right, this has been the Caffeination Podcast, Caffeination 164, the next one, or actually this is now the previous one, unless you're listening to Caffeination 165. But if you're listening to Caffeination 163 directly before it, then this was actually the next one, so hopefully you'll not find that too irritating. I probably will if I actually ever listen to this episode again, but still. All right, if you have been listening to the Caffeination Podcast, it is located lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. You can email us, contact us for anything your heart desires, comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, whatever else you'd like to throw our direction at caffeination@gmail.com. We're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and we're also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's BLUBRRY. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. And if you'd like to find us, it's myspace.com/caffeination. And, our listener line, in case you'd like to call in for that, is 215-240-1319. And Skype ID is The Caffeination. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.